We're going to read the last four verses of that chapter, starting at verse 18 on down to verse 21, the last verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. And it reads, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." And this morning we will focus on that last verse there as the Holy Spirit will guide using the message title, "Keep yourselves from idols." Keep yourselves from idols. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, this is your word. And your word gives life, and your word gives strength, and your word gives direction. You are, Lord God, our light, our guide, our strength. And we look to you, Heavenly Father, at this time to give us that direction, to give us that strength, to give us that light. And so, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. And God, I pray that your word falls on fertile ground. I pray, Lord God, that it brings forth a harvest in this, your people. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We all know how the death of George Floyd sent shockwaves of protest around the world. And the protest here in America that started specifically about police brutality from white police officers against unarmed black men has now grown to include even the removal of Confederate statues and symbols around the country, particularly here in the South. And while many are focused on the racism that led to these Confederate statues and symbols going up in the first place, the root problem really goes even deeper than the racism. The root problem is sin, and specifically the sin that the Bible refers to as idolatry. And if we're honest with ourselves, idolatry is a topic which many Christians today see as antiquated and outdated. Because when most hear the word idol today, they automatically picture a golden or stone calf or a golden or stone bull, some sort of golden or stone statue. But idolatry has not magically gone away. Idolatry is still alive and well. And it's sadly alive and well in our churches because it is alive in many Christians as well. Idolatry is alive and well in this country in which we live as it is in the other countries around the world. When a few years ago that San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick first sat quietly and then started kneeling during the national anthem at the beginning of his team's games, many people became angry. And Kaepernick, he explained that he was calling attention to the bigotry and injustice in America, and especially regarding those police officers that have suffered no consequences for shooting and killing unarmed black men. Yet he was bullied for expressing his opinion. He lost his professional football career and is hated by many, all because he chose to refuse to genuflect to the American flag for a higher cause. Kaepernick paid a price for revealing not just the apathy in many people, but also their idolatry. Because there are those that have made an idol of the national anthem. There are many in this country that have made an idol of the American flag. There are many that have made an idol of professional football. And there are those that have made an idol of peace and quiet. I want my peace, so you be quiet and suffer silently. But any time someone's idol is perceived as being disrespected, that will be met with opposition, and at sometimes violent opposition. The reason that many of us are not acknowledging the idols in our society, or more importantly, in our own lives, is primarily because we have an incorrect definition and image of what idolatry truly is. Simply put, an idol is anything or anyone that we want more than God, anything or anyone that we rely on more than God, anything or anyone that we look to for greater fulfillment than could come from God. Idolatry is seeking glory in something other than God. Whatever we value more than God is an idol, and thus the attention we give it means that we are practicing idolatry. And this idolatry may be different things for different people. If you have something or someone that you turn to before you turn to God, that is your idol. If you have something or someone you turn to instead of God, that is your idol. And it does not take much to fall into idolatry. With even unintentionally doing so, we often put our value and confidence in our children, our spouse, our physical looks, our money, our job, our education, or even our friendships. We put more into that more than we would into God. And if you're not careful, you may look to money or comforts to fill a space in your heart which they cannot fulfill. All these things, the money, comforts, they're not themselves inherently evil, but they become a problem when we begin to believe that they satisfy us more than God. Our text this morning comes from 1 John chapter 5. Now, John was the disciple and the author of the Gospel of John and Revelation. He had been a fisherman before he met Jesus. He ultimately was one of Jesus' inner circle together with James and Peter, and he was called the disciple that Jesus loved. It was John that Jesus spoke to when he was nailed on the cross, and Jesus charged John with caring for his mother Mary. This man walked with Jesus. He saw it all, and we know from history that he was the last of the 12 original disciples of Jesus to die. So 1 John, it's here, it was a circular letter that was sent to Christians in several places. And in those days, apostles would send letters to Christians, and those letters would be delivered from church to church and read out loud and copied by hand. And 1 John is one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's not the shortest book, but it is one of the shortest. The whole book has 105 verses. But it has been the end of 1 John that has always intrigued me since I first read it. Because this verse 21 here in chapter 5 seems a somewhat odd way to end a letter. He did not say, "May God bless you and keep you," is my prayer. He did not say, "May the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent from one another." He simply said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." But so much has been said in so few words. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Because John's final words drill down to the core of our heart and leads to some profound questions. What do we worship, or who do we worship? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I said before, there were 104 verses in 1 John before we got to this last verse. But if we ignore these words here in this last verse, in verse 21, whatever we heard about Jesus from the previous 104 verses in 1 John will have little meaning to us. Why? Because idols cannot coexist in our hearts for long without being exposed when Jesus is there too. Like the rest of the New Testament, this book was originally written in the Greek language, and the word keep in the original language means guard. John is writing here that we must guard our heart from idols. The theologian Gregory Beale, he wrote a book some time ago called We Become What We Worship, Biblical Theology of Idolatry. The title of that book pretty much sums up what the book is about and has been something that stuck with me. Beale wrote that we become what we worship. What we worship becomes our identity. And that is why idolatry is so dangerous, because we become what we worship. And if your idol is pride, you will become prideful. If your idol is lust, you will become driven by your sexual desire. If your idol is work, you will lose yourself in your job. Idolatry starts in the heart and ends in the heart. And the way to fight idols of the heart is to replace them with the glory of Jesus in the gospel. The gospel says to us that everything that we are looking for in every idol, we can only find that thing truly in Christ. And when we believe the gospel, the Lord, by his word and his spirit, will uproot the idols from our heart and plant himself in their place. God's like a husband who will not stand to see another man with his wife. The second commandment of the Ten Commandments is about idols, and it starts by saying, "You shall have no other gods before me." We were made for him alone. Our God is a jealous God. And because he is, he will not simply coexist with the idols of mankind. He will do something about them. So as I move to my conclusion here, we were made in the image of God. We were made to be like him, but idols make us like them instead. So what thoughts, beliefs, behaviors have you trusted in that are contrary to what God says in his word? Do you still carry those beliefs and those behaviors? Because if you do, then that is an idol. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We cannot devote ourselves to idols that contradict God, because they will lead us to harm. So search yourself and ask God to help you identify and take down anything that you have made an idol, to take down anything that you hold in reference that does not reflect Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so if we let the light of Christ shine on any idolatry that we have, then we then just must confess, turn away from that idol, and then let Jesus replace that idol with himself. But that'll cost us something. We'll have to give up building our lives on things other than Jesus. The Lord alone is to be glorified. The Lord alone is the source of truth. The Lord alone should be trusted. He is our help and our shield. And the Lord alone is to be feared. The Lord will bless us, and he is to receive all of our praise and all of our worship. So little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word's direction, for your word's guidance. And God, we see in your word, as written by your servant John, that you will not have any other gods before you, and that you have admonished us to keep ourselves from idols. So, Lord, if there is anything that is remotely close to an idol in our lives, Lord God, we pray, O Heavenly Father, that by your light, by your spirit, by your power, by your word, that you show it to us, Lord, and that you allow us, Lord, to confess and to turn away from it, because it is you and you alone that is worthy of our praise and our worship. Lord, what we worship is what we become, and Lord God, we worship you, and we look to you, O Heavenly Father, to help us remove any distraction, to help us remove any item, any idol that keeps us, Lord God, from looking to you and looking to you clearly and solely as our source, as our strength, as our guide, as our light. And God, we know that by your word and by the power of your spirit, we will see you and see you alone as our one and true God. So, Father, thank you. And help us, Lord, to keep ourselves from idols. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.